You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This is the Drive Zone on Zone Radio 88.5, the voice of the valley. And the time is now 4:10. And for your sins, it is time for us to connect with Jeffrey Ernest Kahn on the best of life, love, biltong, fruit salad, ice cream, and all sorts of things. Yo, officially known as the best of life, love, and fruit salad.
Excellent. I wonder who thought of that name.
I don't know. And he must have been smoking something.
Yeah, it's a unicorn. I'm sure it was him.
You
I'm
think?
Sure it
you
was
think?
Him. I know.
Oh, you know.
I know. I remember.
How the hell are you? Not that not that I really am too concerned, good. But you know, people will think I'm rude if I don't ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, I don't want to be thought of as rude.
No, you would never be rude.
No, I would never be rude.
The last thing you would be is rude.
No. It's not it's not in my DNA.
No, I can see. The glasses, you're looking quite smart there. There's
these are just like readers. I don't actually need these. In fact,
like a school teacher.
I don't actually need these. They just when I look at my phone, the print sometimes a little fine.
Going down that road.
Yeah, no, I'm fine.
Older.
Yeah.
Yeah, careful.
So we've got this heavy topic, or what is it, a heavy topic?
Yeah, it's not, well, it can be a heavy topic, but it's not heavy.
When you talk about minefields, I'm worried.
Don't be heavy on a minefield.
End up with my military training post-traumatic stress stuff kicking in.
I can see your eyes are getting wider and wider. But don't worry, it's all good. I'm here. Okay,
all right.
But why I called it a secret of a minefield, because relationships are difficult. That's we know that. we go in and they don't start teaching us in standard in grade 2 and grade 3 and 4, 5, 6, 12, anything about relationships. We have them at school, sure. We have friends and teacher relationships. No, not your kind of relationships that you used to have. That's a bit X-rated, and this is a family show. So we won't talk about that. But I wanted to talk about the kinds of relationships we have, the types of relationship. Mm-hmm. And maybe you think there are only 5 or 6 or 7, 8 of them, or 10 of them. There are actually 25 different types of relationships that you can have. So I'm going to go through as many as possible.
Are we going to go through all of them?
Well, we're going to attempt it, and then at the end of it, then we'll go away for the weekend. But but I've also got some hints on how to make the relationships better and that kind of stuff, because we always like ending on a positive note.
Okay.
And this is not negative. It's just information that there are different kinds of relationships, and I'm going to talk through them, and you're going to say, oh, well, I'm in that one, or I'm in this one, or I'm in that. If you do want to say anything, just write in
on WhatsApp.
On our WhatsApp.
And that number is?
And that number is? Yeah. No.
You don't know.
Okay, right. Moving straight on. That's not in front of me.
072-447-8044.
As he throws me under the bus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what is a relationship? Okay, basically it's a state of being connected to another person. Okay, where both partners have some accountability to each other. And what is the most integral part of a relationship in any work or a romantic or whatever relationship? It's trust. If you don't trust somebody, you don't kind of get into a relationship with them, really. Okay, you're trying to kind of stay away because I don't trust that person. And I think trust is a big, big one. We can talk about that for half an hour at least, just on that alone. So let's have a look at the first one. The first relationship you have is the first. Amazing. Not on the first, but the first, which is the very special one. It's your first love. It's your, let's call it the romantic relationship. It's your first one. And it's very special. It always will be in your mind. It might not be right or whatever, but that first, when you felt that first thing, that thing. The second one is the rebound relationship. And it occurs when you are freshly out of a serious relationship or some other romantic relationship, and you are nursing bruises.
Mm.
And then you go, and your self-esteem is shot. So you just go with somebody because you sort of need to get your confidence back up again. And it's too quick. It's too fast. Now, men, we've said this before, are very good at messing this up. And we do very well on the rebound.
Mm.
When you break up immediately the next weekend, you got to have somebody. Otherwise, you haven't got it anymore. Okay? Women take a hang a long more time to get over the emotion, and they go through it a lot better than we do as guys. But it's kind of an unfair relationship to be in because you're not quite ready for that person. You're still dealing with stuff and you're not ready. And it takes about 18 months to get over a relationship or a divorce or a serious relationship. So be careful of the rebound as well. Okay, then you've got number three, which is a controlling relationship, which can be nasty. Mm. We've spoken about that as well. And often goes hand in hand, Richard, with jealousy. And a controlling partner wants to monitor your social media and your electronic devices. They may want proof of where you've been or what did you do. And I'm not saying you come home and your wife says to you or your partner or husband says, how was your day? What did you get up to? You know, what did you do? Not that kind of what did you do. Mm. Where were you at 3 o'clock? I phoned you and I left you WhatsApps. Mm. You weren't around. Where were you at 3? You know, that kind of nasty sort of, and it's unhealthy and it's damaging to
interrogating.
Nasty stuff. Yeah, that's not like a. Then you've got number four is clingy. Clingy relationships. Clingy often stems from insecurity. So you're insecure and so you cling to somebody. You may not feel good enough for your mate or have dealt with a broken trust issue or whatever. And so you become a little bit clingy. So spending time together is the key, okay, to maintaining a strong bond as friends and as lovers, of course. But spending time apart is equally important. Mm. So just be careful that you don't get into a too much of a clingy thing. Pursue your own friendships and hobbies outside your relationship. And, of course, it's nice to have a hobby with your partner. That's lekker. Number five, too independent.
That's the opposite of clingy.
Yeah, exactly. So it goes straight there. It's the opposite of clingy. Yeah. Yeah. And there's such a thing as being someone who is too independent. Mm. Too much on their own. Too much doing their own thing. Too much going away on weekends with the boys. Too much independence. And what happens there is that the relationship splits and you go in a different direction and you don't have anything to bring you together. So the whole relationship goes apart. And that is being too independent. Number six is an open relationship. And that's something we can talk about because that's an interesting one. Mm. It's also known as a non-exclusive type of relationship where it's an intimate relationship, but it's not physically exclusive. So, I've been struggling with it. I've been doing counseling and stuff for many years, probably 30 years now. And I have met with people and counseled people that are in this kind of relationship and there's no judgment. You know, nobody has the right to judge anybody. But I seriously can't see how it works if somebody is in a romantic physical relationship and they have other partners. I don't see it. There are other people that, it works for us, you know.
Yeah.
Does it work? Does it really work?
Well, it works for them. But
For how long, Rich? Yeah. How long? You know, I've studied this. I've read a lot about it. I don't know if that works. But if it works for you, great. I mean, that's the other kind of relationship.
The thing about working for you, it's working for you now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The point is exactly. Yeah. Okay. So, and then all kinds of stuff can go wrong there as well. And that's quite a nice conversation, but it's an after nine conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then there's an experimental relationship, which is number seven. Starts out when you're trying to break a cycle or the cycle and try something new. So, you know, we always are attracted to the similar kind of person generally. You decide, I'm going to give it a try. I'll try the Zone Radio guy with the long hair. Let's try him, you know, because I've always had these slick, good-looking John McKnight type guys, and then let me try something else. I'm kidding. It can also be considered a dating relationship where you're exploring options that you've never, ever conquered before. So, or been down the road before. An experimental relationship allows you to see yourself, obviously, from a different perspective and gives you a look into a future that you might or might not like. So it's not bad at all. Number eight is a nasty, is a toxic relationship. And I've always said, stay away from these guys. Mm. This relationship is not good. And you should feel special and secure and happy in your relationship. And if you don't, there's a problem. And these types of relationships are just the opposite of that. And it seems great at first because it's quite exciting with these kind of people. but the true colors will come out and it will show. And the signs of a toxic relationship would be a passive-aggressive behavior, maybe a physical or verbal abuse, and there's no excuse for any kind of that. Mm. Excessive criticism, you kind of feel like you're walking on eggshells around your mate. A lack of getting back what you're giving. So if you're giving, but you're getting nothing back. Mm. You don't feel valued. And it drags you down, and it takes your confidence away, actually. And it really wipes you out and makes you incredibly tired. So a study even found that people with low self-esteem are most subjected to such relationships because they stay in because that toxic person sometimes is a narcissist and they're quite strong. Mm. And so that's not great. And so number nine, held by grief relationship. So you may be in a grief situation where you've lost a family member or something and it's terrible. And you get together because somebody's been a real friend and whatever, and you sort of connect and you stay with each other for a while. And the pain has brought you together. And they generally fall apart as the pain begins to subside and everything gets back to normal again. Number 10, opposites attract. I've always had always heard this thing, opposites attract. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they do. Maybe they attract, but do they work in a relationship? I don't know. There are no shared hobbies. There are no common interests. There are no common beliefs. I don't know. You might be attracted to somebody with a new view and that kind, but down the line, does it work? I'm not so sure. It can be a blessing as well. The opposite characteristics of a partner can make that relationship quite interesting.
It can be complementary, yeah.
Yeah, it can be interesting as well. And you can balance each other out perhaps. So it can work both ways. A scripted relationship, this is quite nice where you don't necessarily feel for the guy or the lady, okay? Mm. But, it looks like talking about you, but they're handsome, sweet, has a good job, and makes you laugh. There you go, Rich. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's totally marriage material, Judy, and so you date him anyway. Okay, even though there's not that huge attraction or that spark, that not quite the one, but because he's such a good guy, maybe you're in that relationship. Mm. Number 12, career-orientated relationship, where people get together and they just go it, and they make huge career out of their relationship. They're working, they're going to work, they're doing whatever, and they do it together, and the career takes precedence over everything else. So that could work if you're that kind of person, if you've got goals and that with together. Number 13, could it be 13? Yes, unhappy relationship. This is the worst one to be in, I think. To be in an unhappy relationship, you do not deserve that as a person. You do not deserve that. You deserve to be happy and fulfilled and valued. And they stay together, the couples. Sometimes people stay together for the kids' sake because the kids are still at school. And, you know, when we get later down the line, we'll look at it. I'm not happy with him. We hardly talk. We don't speak to each other. It's not great. It even makes me feel bad just talking about it. And it could be for financial reasons that you're with somebody. And you might stay, as I said, due to social pressure and the kids. Number 14, long-distance relationship. Long-distance. Mm. Now, this is for the brave.
Very brave.
This is for the very brave. This is for... And look no further. If you're brave, then the long-distance relationship, because you'll promise yourself it's okay and you'll handle it, but it can be hectic, and very few people survive the long-distance relationship.
Well, it's not sustainable.
No, because you're not getting connection with somebody, you know.
But over the short term, it may be the only option.
Well, if you connected with somebody, you like somebody, you really like it, but that, like, after 3 months, we know that it goes away, and then wait 2-3 years, it gets frustrating and all that kind of stuff. So it's for the people that are brave. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that are brave, but be careful of that one. So, and then there's a validation relationship. Your partner repeatedly seeks your validation for their attractiveness and their intellect and their social status and sexually and wealth and all the other attributes, you're on in a validation relationship if they keep asking you to validate them. Okay. Yeah, it's the self-esteem stuff again. Mm. And so, yeah. 16 is an insecure relationship, which is going on to the next one. Your partner constantly looking for inconsistencies in your behavior and your loyalty. So they insecure, and now they're looking for problems. And that can mess up a relationship. And those kind of relationships, you can only go so far as to make your partner trust or believe your intention. But beyond a point, you cannot do anything else. It's just too far. Number 17 would be a sacrificial relationship. Making sacrifices can be great. And we need to. Compromises, sacrifices. I don't like you boxing anymore. I need you to stop boxing for me. Otherwise, I can't go out with you. Or I don't want you working on the rigs anymore. I don't want you overseas anymore. Otherwise, we can't have this relationship. And you, so you sacrifice certain things. And it's... yeah, it's good. It's good. But don't give up your power. Don't give up your balance. And if it's something that you really like, you need to sit down and discuss it before you give it up as well. Then you've got an asexual relationship. They, people are not attracted to each other physically at all. They're just great mates. And in that relationship, they might be active physically outside or emotionally, physically outside the relationship. So it's be careful of that one, guys. It's brought on by boredom from a sensual routine. So be careful of the asexual one. You move apart from each other physically, and then it's an issue. Complicated relationship is one where a couple is unable to resolve a conflict or fix an issue.
Yeah, that's the Facebook one. It's complicated.
Yeah, that one. No, I can't fix the issue.
It's complicated.
Yeah, it's complicated. All three of them. Yeah. And it's stuck in limbo, you know? It's stuck in limbo until it comes off Facebook and then in a relationship or single.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorted.
Yeah.
Okay. The partners are aware of what's troubling their relationship, but they're unsure how to deal with it. So you're in a complicated relationship. You're just in it for the physical. It's, some people call it friends with benefits. And that can work for a while, but usually turns into people move on and that kind of stuff. So it might be okay for a while, but that's pretty much it. And it can be quite hectic. I mean, it can be quite intense, but, you know, you don't want to be with that person. But the physical stuff is good. The chemistry is undeniable. And it just goes on until somebody else finds somebody else that they really connect with properly. You've got a love-hate relationship, which is number 21. Equal parts of love and equal parts of hate. So I can't live with you and I can't live without you type of story. And couples madly in love with each other, but they're just fighting all the time. They just can't stand each other. And drama with such relationship can be fun at first to make up and all that kind of stuff, but it emotionally deplete you eventually. Number 22, mature relationship. That's quite nice. You know, lack of judgment, and we don't judge each other. We few non-negotiable, rigid expectations, and it's normally people over 40 when their needs have changed and evolved. Mm. And that's a nice relationship to be in as well. You can try and mix a few of these relationships up as well. Mm. A mature one is a nice one to mix in there. Feels more like friendship. You've got a friendship with somebody. You don't really have that intimate, cozy kind of thing. Number 24 is the trophy relationship, where the person that you're with gives you kind of status or something materialistic in return. You've heard of the thing called the trophy wife or trophy partner, and the gold digger looking for a trophy partner, perhaps. You know, there it is. I mean, who are we to judge?
Yeah.
You know, how do you know somebody's a trophy? You don't know. People can be cruel.
There's always a trade-off in that one.
Yeah, there is a trade-off, and we can be cruel about it. Mm. And then number 25, which is the last one, is the one. The one. Not the first one, the one. Finding the one is like burst of butterflies in your stomach constantly. You finally met your match. You met your soulmate. It's the person you want to spend the rest of your life with, and you're absolutely sure about it. And it's very satisfying, that kind of relationship. And it evolves and it changes over time. But, you know, I want to give you some hints now on some essential relationship skills you can learn to evolve your relationship. So those are the 25. And now I want to give you some hints to to get involved in a good relationship with. Okay, so being open to feedback instead of defending any criticism. That's number one. Okay, listen. I understand how you feel. I'm not changing anything. No, I understand how you feel. Let me see if I can change, or let me see if I can do it. Spending time together is also good. Taking chances and trying new things is good. Allowing your partner to really know you, you know, your understanding, to understand you. And guys, please listen to women when they talk. You know, we're so accused as men of not listening. So you need to listen. And let her say her say, okay? Being honest is an essential part of a relationship as well. Being optimistic and positive is a skill, is a life skill for that matter as well. Respect is a huge word when it comes to dealing with anger and dealing with a partner and dealing in a relationship. If you respect somebody, they will pick it up and they will be more open to fixing anything that might be a problem. And couples who support one another are more content in their relationship. So if you want to do a squash and your wife says, fantastic, you know, I'll come watch you and I'll come support you and I'll be your first cheerleader, that's brilliant, you know. Or she wants to go painting and brings a painting home and you say, well, let's look and see what you did today. This looks amazing, or whatever it is. Okay, so support each other. Learn to share mutual trust to feel safer emotionally and physically. And that's important as well. Maintaining individuality to nurture the other important relationships in your life, like your kids and your older kids and the kids outside and your parents and her parents, also is vital. And it's important to learn to grow from failed relationships. Don't take nonsense from other relationships in and set boundaries. You know, we talk about boundaries. We talk about that discussion we need to have. We did a podcast on that as well. And keeping your relationship healthy and strong is work every day. And I know it's a terrible thing to say it's work, but it is. It is absolutely work. And you can practice positive habits. You don't have to let the negatives affect this thing. And it's easy to maintain a good relationship. And the 1% rule is I want to be 1% better every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that by listening and learning and compromising and taking chances and going to places that are not that comfortable. So that comes from Atomic Habits, a book. 1% rule, be 1% better every single day. Sorry. And then five most important relationships. Family, friends, romantic partners, colleagues, and oneself as well.
The thing about that is those aren't listed in any particular particular order. But of course, very often, the relationship with oneself is the one that's got to be up front there.
Yeah. Yep.
If you're working that one out, you know, it's easier to work on the others.
Sure.
So, you know, I would have put that at the top of my list.
Yep.
But like you say, they're not listed there in any particular order.
No, not really, no. So yeah, and it's better we understand them, and it gives us a better chance for attaining peace of mind, which is everything in life, actually. Your own peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your own... If you find peace within yourself, you'll find peace within partners.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're working on yourself.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah,
having a relationship with yourself.
Correct.
Okay. Not, but that doesn't mean like a narcissistic thing.
No, not the mirror.
Yeah.
Although we should look in the mirror once a day.
Yeah. I think there's interesting stuff. It really is. I mean, we've broken down 25, 26 different labels, but a lot of those are just isolated for the purpose of the discussion, because many of those elements are going to be found mixed up and jumbled up in all sorts of relationships. And the skill is then to use what you gave us at the end here to sort of sift through that.
And make it better.
And make it better.
Yeah.
Because some of these things, for instance, the being an individual relationship, that thing where, you know, one goes... A bit of that is required.
Balance. It's all about balance, isn't it, Rich?
Yeah. So, I think it's very cool.
Yep.
All right.
Good.
So is that it?
That's it for today. I don't want to I don't want to overpopulate the place, you know what I mean, with my words, but I thought it might be a nice discussion today. And you know, it's not so heavy, and we all go through it, and we've all, you know, everybody I meet, everybody you meet, everybody we meet can write a book. We all have amazing experiences, bad ones, good ones, whatever it is, but we're all in relationships. And some of us, you know, we look back on previous and say, well, I'm not good at relationships. It's not necessarily true. Look at yourself, find who you are, find who you want to be, and then don't rush into anything, you know. You know, the rebound stuff we were talking about, that's very real, and it does mess people up. And so just be careful out there. Take it easy. And be kind to yourself, you know.
I was just looking at this, and maybe it's a topic for another day, but a lot of this can apply to workplace relationships.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you've got a controlling relationship at work. You've got the toxic relationship. You've got all of those things. Not all of them probably, but a lot of them can apply to the workplace as well. It probably narrow that list down by probably half. But, yeah, is that your phone?
I don't know.
Hey? Somebody's singing to you. Okay. Should answer it on the radio.
It's actually my son from America.
Is it your son?
Sorry about that. It's on a different song thing. It's supposed to be switched off. Very professional. There you go.
Okay. So that's put a strain on the relationship.
Then. Yeah. Well, that's you got a bit controlling, and I'm going to rebound out again.
Thank you very much for that, Jeff. We'll touch base with you in 2 weeks' time. This has been the Best of Life, Love, and Fruit Salad. All the information in terms of contacting or hooking up with Jeff, if you would like to speak to him on a one-on-one basis, will be on the podcast this evening on our website. All right.
Right. Thanks, everybody, and have a great week ahead, and look forward to seeing you Monday.
Stay warm.
Yep, always.